What is up, weirdos? You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives. And this week, in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, we are talking about my relationship with Avengers Endgame. And then next week and the week after, we're going to have Bacon Is My Podcast on, Mike and Jimmy. They are so great. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to that episode. I had so much fun. And we're going to be talking about Avengers Endgame. So full disclosure, I'm going to nerd out. And we nerd out the whole time. So it's going to be great. So strap in, get ready. Let's do this. So my relationship with Avengers Endgame, I think really I have to start with my relationship with the MCU. And so just a little bit of background on my relationship with the MCU before we get into Avengers Endgame. I remember seeing Iron Man in the theaters. I remember seeing Iron Man in the theaters, and then I don't really remember much else after that. Like I didn't like keep up with it. I was like, my fascination was with like books that had come to life. So, like my journey with the comics, and the MCU was pretty short lived. I really liked Iron Man. I thought it was really good. I really liked RDJ as Iron Man. I just got focused on other things, like with school and those kinds of things. I don't remember how old I was when Iron Man came out. But yeah, I just remember seeing it in the theaters. And so it just kind of dropped off. Like I didn't really keep up with it. I was more into like the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, obviously the Harry Potter series and movies, those kinds of things. But I feel like I did see like the Avengers movie. I don't think it was in theaters. I think it was like on, you know, on one of those like TMZ. Oh my God, Abigail, what are you talking about? But it's like on a TV, like a TV movie kind of a thing. Like it was just on one of the television stations, and I'm pretty sure I watched like a little bit of it. And I was intrigued by it. I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is actually pretty good. But I, like I said, I just really didn't like keep up with it. I was focused on other things. I kind of like was much more focused on like my life and what was going on in my life at the time. And I just like didn't really have time to keep up with it, with the MCU in general. And so I kind of just let it fall by the wayside. I know I'm a bad nerd. It's fine. And then it wasn't until I like reconnected with my husband that he was like really into it. So it's, if there's anyone to blame, it's his fault. We're going to blame him. It's definitely his fault. But he was like really into it. And I remember we saw Doctor Strange in the theaters and I loved it. I love Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he's such a good actor. I really loved him in The Imitation Game. That it's like one of my favorite movies. I 100% cry every time I watch it, even though I've seen it like, you know, like 10,000 times. I've seen that movie like 10,000 times. And because I'm a nerd and I like have to go down the rabbit hole, I like did a whole bunch of research. And I really fell in love with his portrayal of Alan Turing in The Imitation Game. And so when Doctor Strange came out and we went to an Alamo Drafthouse to go see him, well, not see Benedict Cumberbatch, but to go see the movie Doctor Strange, I was really, really excited to see him as Doctor Strange because I really loved what he had done in The Imitation Game with Alan Turing. And I remember just being like blown away. Just like it was visually stunning. It was, the soundtrack was amazing. I loved the soundtrack. I'm big into like movie soundtracks and like film soundtracks. But yeah, I just remember being like blown away and being like, oh my gosh, I need to know everything. And because I kind of came in during Doctor Strange, it was a little bit like a standalone movie. So if you haven't seen Doctor Strange, it's kind of like its own standalone movie where like there aren't a lot of, like, you don't necessarily really need to know the backstory of everybody in order to get what's happening in Doctor Strange. Which I got really lucky with that because I had no idea. I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on. Like, what's happening? As far as like the overall MCU is concerned. And so I think Doctor Strange was a really good sort of like jumping back in point for me. Because you didn't have to know, you know, like all the stuff. In order to like get what was going on in the film, which I really appreciated. But of course, because it's me, I fell in love with it. And then I had to know everything. I needed to know everything. I was like, I love this franchise. What is this? And as it turns out, I became like a super fan and like a much bigger fan than my husband did. And now, like, the roles flipped. Like, he was the super fan, and he was like, oh my gosh, like, you have to watch this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. And I was like, okay. And so, because I remember coming out of Doctor Strange and being like, that was really good. That was, like, really amazing. I really loved it. It was really, really good. But there were a couple of things that I was kind of like, so, like, what's this about? Like, what's this Infinity Stone shit? And what is, what's going on? What's happening again? And he was like, well, you gotta watch. Like, he was like, I can't believe you haven't seen, you know, like these other ones and, blah, blah, blah. And oh my gosh. And I was like, okay, I'll figure it out. So I did a deep dive and so I have to go in chronological order because that's just how I have to do things. But I ended up not going in chronological order because at the time I didn't realize that there was like a rhyme or reason to the order that the MCU movies were in. And so I did it in like release order. So I started with Iron Man, and then we did Iron Man, I believe it's two. I don't know. You can find you just type in like theatrical release order of MCU movies into like DuckDuckGo or whatever you use, whatever search engine you use. But yeah, so I ended up just really kind of going back and like doing a serious deep dive into it. And I ended up, you know, like, falling in love with it, just like falling completely in love with it and just being like, oh my God, this is like, I loved the lore. I loved the, like the magical element of it. I loved like how I have a really big like reverence towards, once I realized that it was like a project that had spanned the course of like 15 years or however long it was, I was very much like, oh my God, how did they do this? And I had to know everything. I was like, I need to know now. And so I did. I went and I looked up everything and I did it. And I watched all the movies and I ended up on YouTube pages and Reddit boards and just news articles. And I mean, podcasts, of course, podcasts, like, everything. I just dove headfirst into the deep end and loved it. And so by the time Avengers Infinity War came out, I was completely caught up. I was like 100% caught up completely. And I ended up, so I didn't realize that like there was a rhyme or a reason as to like why they released certain films out when they do. And there is like, they do have a rhyme or reason, like they do. So there's always one that comes out around my birthday. And it just like Infinity War came out on my birthday, like the day of my birthday, Infinity War came out. And then Endgame came out the day after my birthday. And that was always kind of, once I realized that like there was sort of that rhyme or reason, and I realized that like it, they came out on or around my birthday, kind of the same times like every year, it was like even better. It was like, you know, the sprinkles on top of the sundae kind of a thing. Like it was just like, oh, this is so cool, because it really does feel like we're all having this collective experience together, and it just happens to be like around my birthday. So it always kind of feels like it just kind of makes my birthday a little bit more special for me, because it's like this collective shared experience that I get to have with a whole bunch of fans of something that like I'm also a fan of. And it's like really, really cool. It just makes me really happy. And it's like one of those things where it's like I always look forward to like that part of the year, because I know that I'm going to get like some new sort of MCU thing, and I really enjoy it. So it just kind of always makes my birthday just like a little bit more special. But yeah, so so Infinity War came out. Oh, okay, so let me back up just a minute, because my husband, he knows me. He knows that once I get ingratiated into something, I'm like all in. I'm just balls to the wall, like all in. Like I have to know everything. I need to know all the stuff. Like tell me now. And he brought up that like there was gonna be a movie where like all of the characters were gonna come together into a movie, and it was gonna like, it was gonna be this big like epic thing. And I remember when he told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, like for the MCU? And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's like with the DC crossover. And of course I had to know everything right then. So I like Googled it, and it turns out I was like, no, it's not MCU and DC. It's just the MCU, but it's all of the characters from all of the movies, like collaborating into this one giant, like epic thing, like you were saying. And so we started like looking everything up and like, reading about it and watching YouTube videos and like fan theories and like all this stuff. And it was just like, it just brought me back to, it sort of came into my life in a place where like I needed to find something like that again. Like I needed to find some form of escapism for myself that was like positive and healthy. Now that's not to say that like my entire relationship with the MCU is a healthy one particularly. It could be considered toxic at some points, I'm not gonna lie. But on a whole, I would say it's a pretty, there are much more destructive ways and forms of escapism that one could have. And I feel like the MCU, like just sort of completely immersing yourself within the MCU and like the Marvel Cinematic Universe is on a whole one of the healthier choices to make. So it was and it is, and it's one of those things that I was really able to, it was kind of the first thing as an adult that I was able to throw myself into and just completely immerse myself and be a nerd and just completely and utterly nerd out, in the same way that I had done when I was younger with like Harry Potter, the Chronicles of Narnia, the Lord of the Rings, like all of those things. It was very, very much like when I was younger, those were kind of, that was like my niche. I was very into, I still am very into like books and stuff. Like I mean, it's what I do for a living, but I just like that it was that it had kind of, those things kind of stayed like in my childhood and like in my teenage years and like, you know, when I was younger. And because of like the course of events that my life had taken, I kind of forgot about those things and I didn't really have a whole bunch of attachment to them anymore. And it was very like full of loss. It was for me, it was very much like, these were part of my childhood and they saved my life. And like, I didn't have really an avenue at that time to like go back and like rediscover my love for these things and like help pull me out of them. And so in my adult life, I think I was about 22, 23 when I like rediscovered my love of being a nerd. And it was like this huge wave washed over me. And I was just very much like, I remember this feeling. I remember this feeling so vividly. And it feels so good. And I never want to let this go ever again. And now, okay, see, the problem with me though is that like, so I will completely immerse myself, ingratiate myself into something, and I will sort of suck the marrow out of everything. And then I have to like take a break after a while because I just get so, like, I know things about the Lord of the Rings series that no one should know. Like, nobody should know these things. Nobody should be taking up brain space, like, you know, with the information that I have in my head about the Lord of the Rings or the Chronicles of Narnia or the Harry Potter series. Like, I know so much useless trivia and like things about those series that it's like, okay, well, that's like enough of you. Cause like, that's super extra. That's not okay. Like, why do you know this information? Because I know this information. And the MCU kind of became that new thing for me. Like I said, I was like 22, 23. And I was pretty lost in that, like, in that time period. And I kind of needed something to, like, anchor me again. And once I found the MCU, it was like, I do remember this feeling. I remember this feeling. I remember that I love this feeling. I remember the community being amazing. I remember feeling very like at home in this community and within this just like overwhelmingly diverse and comforting and just exciting and like electric community. With like, that's the feeling that I got when, you know, like, it's the nerd feeling. That's the nerd feeling that I get from that community, and I love it. And it's like, I found my home. Like, you know, people will say like, well, Hogwarts is my home. And it's like, yeah, no, Hogwarts is my home. Like, it really is. You know where else is my home? The Shire. The Shire's my home. Narnia is my home. The MCU is my home now too. Like, those are the places for me that I feel the most at home in. And so it kind of came into my life at like the best possible time. Like, I didn't know that I needed the MCU to kind of help pull me out of this, out of sort of like the darker place that I was in. But I did. I needed the MCU, and it didn't really need me, but I needed it. And so I did what I do. and I rediscovered my love of being a nerd and a geek and just like re-fell in love with being a nerd and a geek again. And so by the time, and so then, you know, by the time Infinity War came out, I was so pumped. I was so pumped and I was so excited, and my husband knew, and it was great. And so we went and we saw Infinity War on my birthday, and it was really great. And then we had to wait a whole fucking year. Now, okay, I will say this. A year's not that bad. I'm Sherlocked. So I'm a huge Sherlock nerd. And anybody out there who wants to talk about Sherlock and your relationship with Sherlock, the Benedict Cumberbatch series, again, I fell in love with him during that too. That was actually my first introduction to Benedict Cumberbatch with Sherlock. But open invitation to anybody who wants to talk about Sherlock and our relationship with it. I would love to nerd out with you. Let's do it. Absolutely, of course. And so the only reason I bring up Sherlock is because Sherlock is notoriously long release dates in between seasons. And so like a year, it really isn't that bad as far as like, you know, and it really wasn't even a year because we got Captain Marvel and we got, you know, we got Spider-Man and we got, what was the other one? There's another one in between there. But, you know, in between, like before Endgame happened. So it wasn't really like too bad. But I mean, and the thing of it was, is it's like, we know it's a Disney movie. So we knew Endgame was going to end fine. Like we knew everybody was going to get snapped back. We knew that was going to happen. The appeal for me was, okay, so I know we go from point A, which is Infinity War, to point B, which is Endgame. I just want to know, because there are multiple ways to get to that place. The fun for me is figuring out what that journey is and the journey that the Russo brothers and Disney have come up with. Like this is their incarnation of these characters and this world. And I always find it really interesting to see like where they take stories. I don't necessarily have a lot of attachment to the idea that like this is the like I know that there were some people that were really upset about like certain characters endings in Endgame. Oh my gosh, I cannot speak. I know that there were some people that were frustrated with the ending of Endgame. I never really try to get too bogged down on those things because I'm much more interested in how we get there. Does this make sense for the character? Does this and by the character I mean like the incarnation of this character that we have come to know on the big screen. I'm not talking about the character in the comics. I'm talking about the character that we know on the big screen. Because there are differences. And I don't think that that's necessarily bad. I don't necessarily think it's good either. I think it just kind of is. And the reason that I think that it kind of is and is not one or the other is because this is the Russo brothers, Stan Lee. This is the culmination of so many people and their vision for what this looks like that I have to be able to separate kind of the comics from the big screen. And I'm actually pretty good at being able to do that. For the Harry Potter books and for the films, I was able to separate those two and be able to like just enjoy the films versus just enjoying the books. So I mean, that's kind of neither here nor there, but that's just kind of how I have to like always approach anything that was like a book or a comic or something before it came onto the big screen. I love to read the original source material. I have to read the original source material because I want to know what canon is. And then when it gets to the big screen, I have to separate the two. I have to, because otherwise I won't have a good time. And if I don't have a good time, then it's kind of like not worth it for me. So I have to go in and go, okay, what have they chosen to done in their version? Like, what is their canon? What is their version? This isn't just the comic book creator's version. This is the culmination of so many other people's visions and ideas, and the storytelling is very different. And it's like technically different, like on a technical level kind of a thing. And so I have to separate the two. I have to. If I don't, I won't have a good time, and then there's no point. So that was a very long roundabout way of kind of saying the same thing over and over again. But I'm crazy, so it's fine. I mean, you guys know this. So I saw Infinity War. We got there. We blah, 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 blah. Of course, saw Captain Marvel, all the things. And then we get Endgame. And oh my gosh, was I annoyed when I found out it was going to be a 3-hour movie. Oh my gosh. I was so annoyed. I was like, there's no way I can make it through 3 hours. Like, my ADHD cannot handle this. Like, I don't know how I'm going to sit still. How me and my husband, two neurodivergent people, are going to sit still in a movie theater for 3 hours. Like, I was super annoyed. I was like, we need to keep it like a tight hour 30. Like, I, you know, that's like a really hard thing to do. But like, for the sake of my attention span and the attention span of my husband, like, I need you to tighten this up. It didn't happen. Nobody cared what I thought. And so we saw the 3-hour theatrical release in the movie theater the day after my birthday. Actually, I think it was like 2 days after or something. It was opening weekend, I'll put it that way. Humble brag. Sorry. So lost my train of thought there. So we saw the movie, and as it turns out, I didn't even notice that it was 3 hours. Like, my husband and I, like, we knew going in, we were dreading it too. We were like, 3 hours, we're gonna die. Like, this isn't gonna go well. We're gonna have to break this up. Like, there needs to be, I was like, I hope there's an intermission because I'm gonna need one. They didn't have an intermission. There was no intermission. It just played straight through all 3 hours. Again, no one took my suggestions into consideration. It's fine. No one cares. But we made it through, and it did not feel like 3 hours. I remember that feeling. I remember not feeling like, I was like, that was 3 hours? Sure enough, we looked at the time. It was like 7 o'clock by the time we got out of the movie theater. Yeah, I mean, it was that good. Of course I cried. Of course I cried. Even my husband was like, I got a little bit teary-eyed. I was like, yeah. He was like, I saw you. I was like, I heard you. It was great. So we got the whole thing. We just got like, we got teary-eyed. We were screaming. We shouted. We booed. We laughed. We did. And it was a true we. And that's one of the things that I love so much about the nerd community, especially the MCU nerd community, is we all did it together. We all did it together. We were all crying at the same times. We were all laughing at the same points. We were all cheering at the same time. Like, it was this beautiful collective experience. Really with like people from around the world. like just everybody collectively sharing this experience and all having the same reactions and laughing and joking and cheering. And it's just, it's like, this is what life is about, like right here. Like, this is it. This is the apex. If somebody were going to try to like measure like collective experiences, like that's what it is. Like, measure those moments of collective experience, because they are shared experiences with people from around the world. Like, it is one of the most overwhelmingly powerful, not just representations, but feelings. And like, it's almost tangible to a certain extent. It's almost tangible. It skirts right up to that line of tangibility. When you're in a situation like that, when you are collectively experiencing this shared feeling of joy and sadness, when you can experience all of those emotions, these wide range of emotions in a very small amount of time, it's just really powerful, and it feels really cool to be a part of. And so on initial watch, loved it. Absolutely loved it. Didn't feel like 3 hours. We had a great time. Zoomed through it. It was so great. Didn't feel like 3 hours at all. We got all the snacks. We probably spent close to $100 on snacks. But happy birthday to me kind of thing, you know, like that's what I got for my birthday this year. I'm fine with that. That's cool with me. I remember walking out, and I remember being like, my husband just going, that was so good. And I was like, I know, oh my God, it was so good. And we just were, and it was like all we talked about. It was like all we talked about for like 2 days, and like, it was just that good. And of course, you know, we bought it digitally with like all the special features and all the stuff like that on Amazon. And it was just great. It was just so good. And I think it was a very good way to end phase four. Because to me, Endgame is about processing grief. It's about processing grief. And I think that is an appropriate theme. I don't necessarily believe that that's the only theme, you know, that is represented in the movie. However, I do think that it is a dominant theme. And sort of going through the grief that we all collectively experienced together in those 3 hours. Because that's what it was the culmination of, I believe it's like 12 years or some craziness of movies and, you know, TV shows and short films and just like all of this stuff. And there is grief there. There was grief there because we knew that we weren't going to... Oh, well, okay. I shouldn't say that we all knew. From a storyteller's perspective, not everybody can live. Not everybody can survive, even like the big epic final battle. Like, not everybody can. From my perspective as a storyteller and as somebody who loves to read, none of the books that I would consider to be great or books that I go back to constantly on my like yearly reread kind of a thing are books that don't have significant deaths in them. If there's not a significant death, then there's no real stakes for me. So I knew not everybody was going to make it out alive. And you can kind of read into, you know, like which people are going to die based on contracts and things of that nature with the actors and such. So it's not really like this huge secret about what's, it's again, it's about the journey and how we get there. Sorry, there's a dog in the background barking. I'll see if I can edit it out. I'll try. Hang on. And we're back. Okay. I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to get that out of the way. So yeah, so you can definitely, like, it's not such a huge secret when you start factoring in things of that nature. Plus, it's a Disney film. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, we all know it's going to end fine. But, like I said, because I was so enraptured with the way that, like, the Russo brothers and Kevin Feige, you know, how they created this over such a long period of time. I understood and knew what their storytelling style was like. So there were some things that, like, you could pretty much predict. But it was still cool to watch. I mean, I still really, really enjoyed it. Like I said, the time flew by so fast in the movie theater. And I've rewatched it so many times because of all the, like, just like the clues for, like, the future episodes of, you know, like Loki and WandaVision and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, by the way, Scarlet Witch, she is, she's the one that I'd identify with the most. She's the one who I see myself as, yeah, I guess, like, you know, identifies with the most. She's a villain. But I resonate with her story the most. She is the one who it just, like, really hit home for me. And I was a little bit slightly upset because, like, I remember when I was watching, what was I watching? Oh. I was watching, is that the end of Winter Soldier? The deleted scene at the end of Winter Soldier when you see Wanda Maximoff and Pietro, you know, and they're, like, using their powers in the credits scene. And I remember being like, who are these people? Like, I don't understand what's happening. And then we never really got, like, her full story. We never really, like, she was the most interesting to me in the beginning because I didn't know anything about her. And I was like, did I miss something? What's happening? Like, I don't really understand. You know, that kind of a thing. But, and so, like, during Endgame, I think I was, like, hoping that we were going to get more information about, like, her and see her more. I loved all of her stuff in Endgame. I just love her kind of, like, magic and how it's, like, ethereal, and it's just, I really just love how they, like, visually, I just really love the way that it looks and the way that they, like, designed her to look on screen. I really think it's really beautiful. And I love Elizabeth Olsen. I think she's doing a great job with the part. I really honestly do. I think she's doing a really good job with the part. So thank you, Elizabeth Olsen, for portraying her in a way that I identify with and, like, understand. And, like, it's very easy for me to, like, get behind this character. But so I was a little bit disappointed that, like, nothing really happened with her in Endgame. But then when it was announced that WandaVision was coming out, I was like, oh my gosh, I was so excited. I've seen it, like, a million times now. I loved it. I love 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 it. Oh my gosh, I love it. But so when I watched WandaVision and I got, like, her full story and I, like, got all this stuff about her, and it was like a dream come true. I was like, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I get you, girl. I got you. I understand what's happening. But I went back and then I watched Endgame knowing everything that I know from WandaVision. and it was like even better. It was just like so much better. And then Loki came out, and I was like, me and my husband watched Loki. Blah, blah, blah. Me and my husband watched Loki together, and it was so great. We loved it. We're so excited for season two. Yeah. I also thought he hasn't seen Captain America and the Winter Soldier. He hasn't seen that one yet, but I really liked it. I thought it was pretty good. We'll need to talk to somebody about that one, because that one I think was probably, from everything that I can tell, as it wasn't the most well received. And I'm not entirely sure why. Like, I understand certain facets of like why it wasn't great and like why it wasn't super well received by its audience, but I'm not sure that I understand all of the reasons. So we're probably going to have to get somebody on to, oh my goodness, guys, I'm so sorry, my dogs. So we're definitely going to have to get somebody on to talk about WandaVision. Sorry about my dogs, you guys. But I don't know. So I just have, I think it's a pretty good relationship with the Marvel's MCU. And with Endgame specifically, I have a lot of like really good memories and just overall like a really positive attitude around Avengers Endgame, which I feel like is probably a little bit oxymoronic on my part, just because it is, there are a lot of like grief, like the theme of grief is really like a dominant theme, I would say, throughout the movie. And I think you can see a lot of it in a lot of different characters, which is really interesting. And I really liked those character arcs that like they were given. So like Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff, I really liked that we got to see a much more like emotional side to her. And being able to kind of tap into that grief that she has and see like glimpses of, you know, the amount of grief that she has, but then also coming to the conclusion of, you know, the acceptance of herself and the acceptance of the choices that she's made in her life. And so I, and then she dies. Spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen the movie yet. But yeah, then she dies. And I know there were a lot of people that weren't super thrilled with that character arc for her, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it made sense for me for who that character was, for who Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow was. And so I really quite enjoyed it. I also really enjoyed the character arc between Cap and Iron Man. I thought that was a really fitting ending for both of them. I really enjoyed both of those endings for them. And then Thor, obviously. It's a Thor month, you guys. It's going to be... So in honor, let me tell you all a little bit about this. So in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, we are partnering with Bacon Is My Podcast to sell shirts to raise awareness for depression and anxiety. And the shirts say, "I've had a Thor month" on it. Now, full disclosure, yes, I did. Disclosure, not disclosure, excuse me. Full disclosure, I did mess up the math. So it's actually two months. That the entire MCU is like takes for Thor, because he's a god, and so like time doesn't work the same way. But if you do the math, it's like everything that happens from Thor 1 to the end of Endgame is like 2 months for him, or to the end of Infinity War, excuse me. Beginning of Endgame is like 2 months for Thor. So yeah, so that's where the saying came from. I've had a Thor month. But we're selling t-shirts and we're raising awareness for depression and anxiety and Mental Health Awareness Month. So go check out, you can buy them either on Bacon Is My Podcast on their website, or you can buy it So it's just baconismypodcast.com, or you can buy it on manapixieweirdopodcast.com. Just go to our shop, The Peddling Pixie. There's a tab for it, up at the top. Just, you know, click the three bars and go to The Peddling Pixie and you'll get redirected to the store that we now have. So that's fun. And go check us out. Go check those things out on both of our podcasts and help support Mental Health Awareness Month by buying a shirt that says I have had a Thor month on it. Thank you so much to Javi, who made the initial design for the shirts. And then to my husband, who added, he added the beer can and tilted the hammer a little bit. So he did like the finishing touches. But thank you so much to Javi for making the initial design. I had no idea what we wanted. I had a general basic idea, but I couldn't get the image out of my head onto paper because I can't draw to save my life, you guys. I'm still on stick figures and like circles with lines that equal the sun. Like that's, I cannot draw to save my life. So I had to enlist the help. I had to outsource and get some help with it. But thank you to both of you for doing that. And then thank you to Mike and Jimmy from Bacon is My Podcast. I'm so excited for you guys to be on here next week. And we're going to talk way more. We're going to go way more in depth and in detail with that episode. So yeah, so I think that's kind of like all that I have. We're going to go more into Thor and kind of his story arc and stuff. But I want to save that for when Mike and Jimmy are here. We are now, guys, thank you so much for listening. We are now on Patreon. The Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast is now on Patreon. So if you would like to support us, you can. There are multiple tiers ranging from $1 to $10. And everybody who signs up this month will get a free sticker, a free Manic Pixie Weirdo sticker with your subscribed to the tier of your choice. So thank you to everybody who's doing that. Thank you so much for supporting this podcast. If you don't want to do it that way, if you don't want to support us on Patreon, not a problem at all. It's completely fine. If you could just hit the thumbs up and subscribe, and also leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts really, really, really helps the podcast. So, just share whatever you feel. You can also reach out on the website, manicpixieweirdopodcast.com. Leave me a voicemail, check it out, and I'll play it on the show. Or I won't. If you ask me not to, I won't. Or you can email me, manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. So stay tuned for next week where we talk with Mike and Jimmy from Bacon is My Podcast about Avengers Endgame. As always, guys, be kind and stay weird. Love you. Bye.